a brief inspection.
Brandon raised an eyebrow.
Sir? We're going to sell each vill a combination of good and bad?
No. We're selling the weakest vills the good powder, and that bastard O'Keefe the crap. The little vills will slaughter O'Keefe, removing a possible danger to the security of my son, leaving only the small vills without the resources or sacmen to ever challenge Maturo Island. Two problems solved, and we reap double the profit from one sale.
It will be done. I can refit my boat in a week, and will personally escort the cargo to its destinations.
I can send some other PT captain to handle that.
The Baron glanced out the window at the bright sunny day. Lightning flashed in the clouds, too far away to hear the rumble of its thunder.
It's more important to know if Cold Harborville is still standing. If it is gone, I'll take it over. If it stands, then my Firebirds will level the vill, and again I take it over as abandoned.
And what about those Outlanders?
I want them brought before me, dead or alive. And I prefer alive. The dead can't be forced to talk. How did they get here from the mainland? Where did they find those rapid-fire weapons? There is much I need to know.
Brandon saluted.
I shall take care of it myself, my lord.
No need for that.
Kinnison smoothly drew a pistol from under the desk.
Somebody else will handle the task, not you, fool. The last time we talked, I said that failure to secure the flash meant your death. Did you doubt my word?
But my lord...
Brandon began rising from his chair.
I have faithfully served you for 15 seasons, and I brought you the news of the pirate fleet and the Outlanders. Surely that is much more important than one small mistake. I can reclaim Cold Harborville and bring you the bodies of the Outlanders. Give me a chance. Just one chance is all I ask.
No more chances.
The Baron fired twice. The man toppled over, clutching his belly, the bones of his shattered knee showing white through the tattered flesh of his leg. Blood pumped freely from an open artery, and Brandon did what he could to hold the flow back with his bare hands. A heartbeat later, the door was slammed aside, and Sekhmen rushed into the room with their blasters drawn. But they paused, uncertain what to do next, at the scene of their Baron with a blaster, and their commander lying in a pool of his own blood.
Baron, are you okay?
Kinnison rubbed the sores on his hand. They were stinging badly from the discharge of the weapon.
Take that prick to the playroom, and keep him alive while you peel off his skin. Let's see if it fits me better than him.
The man paled, but saluted.
At once, my lord.
Terror distorted Brandon's features.
No. Please. Baron, don't do this!
Kinnison made no reply. His blaster held steadily on the crippled man. As the advancing guards converged, Brandon tried to draw his blaster, and a corporal slammed the wooden stock of his long blaster into the officer's hand, shattering the bones. The weapon dropped from limp fingers, and Brandon made a mad dash for the window. But the troopers tackled him to the floor before he got 10 paces, and ruthlessly beat the officer. He stopped resisting. Bloody and battered, the weeping lieutenant was hauled away, leaving a trail of blood on the freshly scrubbed floor. As the door closed, cutting off the former Sekhman's anguished cries, Kinnison tucked away his blaster and reclined in the cushioned chair to debate whom he should send to find the nameless Outlanders and bring them in for questioning. A week later, Ryan and the others stood on the balcony of the pre-dark lighthouse. Their clothes were freshly washed and boots polished. Their backpacks bulged with MRE packs, and their pouches were jammed with ammo. The past few days had been mostly spent sleeping and rubbing lotion into wounds. There had been no sign of the Lord Baron's PT boats, and while the crabs rallied several times to try to gain entrance through the fireplace, they never made it in alive. It was a clear, crisp day, the heat of the sun perfectly balancing the coolness of the water. A breeze carried a faint smell of living plants and flowers. Down on the beach, the crabs moved about on the shattered remains of their fallen dead, the broken shells picked clean of anything edible with ruthless efficiency. The wind moaned through the rustling weeds, and the waves gently crashed on the rocky shore. Ryan felt this had to have been what it was like before humanity was born, and the world was clean and untouched. Raw. But everything changed, and humanity was now here to stay. If they could survive Skydark, then nothing could get rid of man. The world belonged to them, not the muties.
Time?
Christie hunched her shoulders. The straps of her pack would have cut into her shoulders if not for the thick bearskin coat. Ryan checked his wrist chron.
Pretty soon.
The plan was simple, as all good plans were. Create a diversion, and then wade across the bay to the next island during low tide.
Good. I hate long waits.
Mildred's wild hair was tied back with a strip of cloth. Looking at her, J.B. whispered out of the corner of his mouth.
That's not what you said last night.
Mildred hushed the man with a glance, then smiled and bumped him with her hip. Ignoring the lovers, Ryan watched the waves on the beach, carefully noting they were cresting lower each time. Soon the tide would be going out, and that was when they would make their move.
Now.
He clicked off the safety on the handle of the M16, ready to cut loose on full auto. The seven chattering assault rifles sprayed a hellstorm of 5.56mm depth, and the crash driving droves, chewed to pieces by the streams of lead. Finishing a clip, Ryan dropped it from the breech and slammed in a fresh magazine. They each had one spare, all of the live ammo they could salvage from the stacks of crates. Soon they had a clear zone at the base of the tower, and JB rappelled down first to tether the rogue and to stand guard. His M16 sputtered flying at anything that moved, more than once chewing up weeds, but catching several blues trying to sneak closer under cover of the foliage. In a matter of minutes, the companions were on the ground, spraying lead in every direction. Crabs exploded constantly, their green blood splattering over the rocks and sand dunes. Jack worked the bolt to free another jam.
Oh, shit! Ammo stinks!
Dean burped the rapid fire at the thickest cluster of the muties.
Better than throwing rocks!
Seeking protection, the crabs frantically scuttled for the shoreline, and the companions concentrated their weapons in that direction to drive the muties inland and away from the water.
I'm out.
Christy dropped her rapid fire and drew her S&W revolver.
Same here.
I hope this works.
Mildred fired her rapid fire in a long burst, only to have it abruptly stop. She cast away the dead blaster and pulled her ZKR in a smooth draw.
Damn well better. Light the fuse, JB.
Grabbing a thin string dangling among the climbing ropes, JB shielded the end with his body and used a butane sig lighter to start it burning. The long fuse sputtered and popped for a while, started to hiss steadily, and climbed toward the balcony, then out of sight.
30 seconds!
Ryan splashed into the shoals, heading for the next island. In ragged formation, the rest of the companions followed the man, wading into the shallow water. Walking was tricky, with the outgoing tide pulling at their legs, the sand underfoot shifting as it followed the flow. They stayed to the right to avoid a deep ravine spotted days ago by Christie while she mapped the crossing. Then they jogged to the left to bypass another. But the moment they went into the shoals, the crabs rushed for the beach. The companions started to fire their blasters, while Dean and Jack maintained cover fire with the M16s until the clips became exhausted. The rapid fires went into the drink, and their regular blasters were hauled into view. Suddenly, the Big Blue appeared and started clicking its pincers, directing the other mutants. Jack fired his Magnum pistol, the blast rolling over the waves, and the slug scored a glancing blow off the shell of the huge mutie.
Fucking windage!
He turned to try to catch the others. They were halfway across the bay by now, and had to watch their footing to avoid another ravine full of coral.
Any second now.
Ryan dropped the exhausted M16 and pulled out the Sig Sauer. The blaster glistened with oil, the trigger and most of the internal springs brand new, taken from another hand cannon of similar design.
Make sure to cover your ears and keep your mouths open. That way the concussion won't make you deaf.
The ground shook, and the glass Fresnel lens shattered into a million pieces as flames shot out of the lighthouse. The whole peninsula seemed to shake as the base of the tower broke apart from the titanic explosion. The structure lifted into the air on a fireball, then came crashing down. Catching most of the advancing crabs under its descending tonnage of granite blocks. The muties were obliterated, the Big Blue screaming for only a moment before it was gone, smashed flat by the crumbling building. Then the secondary charges went off. Concussion hit the companions, slamming them into the water as the ground under the lighthouse formed a geyser of boiling flame that licked high into the sky, the 6,000 gallons of jellied diesel fuel igniting into a fireball of ungodly proportions. The chimney bricks shot into the sky and started to fall back to earth.